Tonight we continue a series we began last week titled Lessons from Legends. Lessons from Legends. We're studying 13 different characters in Scripture who we would deem as legendary for their faith in the Lord and the things that they accomplished through God. And so tonight we study a different legend. Last week was Joshua. I found it fitting that this week we are studying the man Caleb. Caleb, in Joshua 14, and beginning in verse number 6, says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, and as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake the word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses went sent me, and as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." Let's pray. Lord, as we study this hero in Scripture, this legend, Caleb, help us to learn from his faith, not only to learn, but to be challenged and strengthened from his faith in you as well. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated tonight. Lessons from legends. There are many legends in the Bible, many different legendary characters, but we're going to take a few of them and study them out on Sunday nights. Tonight we're going to talk about mountain claiming. Not mountain climbing, but mountain claiming. Although sometimes you got to climb the mountain to claim the mountain, right? Caleb wanted his mountain, but he was willing to wait for decades to claim the promise of God and to achieve his goal. He knew that it had to be done in God's time and in God's way. And we too, like Caleb, need to trust that his way is always the best way, and God will do the right thing at exactly the right time every time. Amen. The Christian life is undoubtedly an uphill journey. This truth is beautifully pictured. I read this book for the first time just last year, a book called Pilgrim's Progress. And I had heard about it so often as a believer, and I never had picked it up for myself until finally I read it. And it was by a man named John Bunyan. And it's the entire story is an allegory. It's kind of an illustration that he writes to describe and depict the Christian life. Of course, he uses Scripture in the book. But the book is about a man whose name is Christian, who is continually struggling in an upward battle, moving upward toward the goal of the celestial city. And he has all of these different things, these different people that are keeping him from going to the prize, or trying to get him off track, or to turn back, or just to stay and relax. And yet he pushes forward. The church needs people who will leave the comfort of the valley to climb the mountains of opportunity that God has promised to us. Caleb in the Old Testament, if I could just speak freely, was one of the baddest dudes in all of the Old Testament. You read about this guy, and just even the passage that we read, man, doesn't that fire you up just to hear his faith and makes you want to go into battle with Caleb, right? The first man to ever climb Mount Everest was a man named Edmund Hillary. And they asked him, they said, "What made you want to climb Mount Everest?" And here was his response. "There are some views that are only accessible at the very top." And you know, if we want to see great things from God, we have to be willing to take great steps for God. And Caleb took a great step of faith, and I don't want to say it paid off, but it proved to be a good step. Let's learn a few things from Caleb tonight. Number one, we realize that he relied on God. More than anything, he relied on God. Now look, we can say that we rely on God until there's a mountain before us, and then our faith is put to the test. Do we really rely on God, or in times of trial or tribulation, do we immediately run to ourselves or something else or someone else? Or do we depend on the Lord? It's easy to say, trust the Lord, when everything is going fine. But when there's a mountain in front of you, it's a lot harder to put those words into practice, to put them into action. When I say Caleb relied on God, we'll see here tonight that he was faced many times in his life with situations where other people fled to their own devices, their own comforts, and yet Caleb continued to rely on God. One of the most important aspects of Caleb's life was that he knew what God said and he believed what God said. Like Caleb, we need to know God's word and obey God's word. Now look what Psalm 119 and verse 11 says. "Thy word have I hid in my heart." But understand, why do we hide it in our heart? The rest of the verse tells us. "That I might not sin against thee." It's not just for knowledge, but it's for life change, right? Ezra 7:10 says this, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord," but not just to seek it, and to do it, right? "And to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, not just for information, but to obey, to know, so that he could do. God as well, like Caleb, wants us to seek his word, to know his word, so we can obey his word. Listen, it's not all about knowing, but we must know it in order to do it, right? To hide his word in our heart, as the psalmist says, that we might not sin against him. To know, but to do. Caleb was a wonderful follower. Joshua 14 and in verse number 6, it says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb was there." And I want you to see something here just in Caleb's life. He was a follower. And before you can ever be a leader, you must be a follower. And even when you become a leader, you never stop being a follower. But it says, "And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord God." See, long before Caleb was successful to lead the battle to the top of the mountain that he claimed, he was a successful follower. Moses told him to do something, and he followed. He did it. Joshua was the servant of Moses. Moses was the servant of God. And here we have another one of those servants of Moses, a man named Caleb. He was willing to follow the orders. It's not wrong to look to another person to follow as they follow the Lord. Even Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Caleb knew that Moses followed the Lord, so it was an easy situation for him to say, "Okay, I'll follow Moses as he follows the Lord. And in doing so, I know that I'll be following the Lord as well. You know, the famous quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, Roger Staubach, said, when asked about his coach, his most famous coach, see, he led the Cowboys to Super Bowl victory back in Super Bowl 11. He admitted that his position as quarterback, even though he didn't call his own signals, was a source of trial for him. His coach, Tom Landry, sent in every play. He told Staubach when to pass. He told him when to run. Only in emergency was he able to change the play. He considered his coach to have a genius mind, but when it came to football strategy, pride said that he should be able to run his own team. He later said, I faced up to the issue of obedience. Once I learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, and victory. If we cannot submit to godly leadership, I think God looks down on that pride and says, I don't want any part of that. It doesn't matter how talented you are. It doesn't matter how spiritual you are or how much you read your Bible. If we can't learn to obey and to follow, we immediately put ourselves in the back of the line. Caleb was a follower, but he was also a leader. Did you know that? You can be a follower and still be a leader, right? Back to the book of Numbers. Just back another chapter, Numbers 13 and verse 25. Caleb followed orders, but he also sought to lead the people. Numbers 13 and verse 25, it says, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. This morning I referenced 12 spies sent to Israel. It says in verse 26, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Now let me pause there, okay? Moses sends these 12 spies. Joshua and Caleb are amongst those 12 spies. They go into the land to spy out the land. They want to know a report of what the land is like. Well, sure enough, the 12 spies come back and they have a bounty of stuff with them. And they show them all the fruit of the land. And they give the report. But in Numbers 13 and verse 27, it says, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. So they get back and they say, hey, you were right. It's everything you said it is. Look at all the stuff we brought back. It's amazing stuff. But verse number 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. And the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of the Jordan. These people, they're huge. They're giants. The sons of Anak were seen as these gigantic men, these kind of mythological men. And they said they're in the sea, they're in the mountains, they're in the plains, they're everywhere. And you remember what they said last week? We studied this verse out. They said that they're huge and we are but grasshoppers in their sides. They come back and they're panicking, saying, there is no way that we can go in here. You don't understand, Moses. Aaron, look, it, the stuff is great, but you didn't see what we saw. We'll be killed. We're like bugs. They're just going to squash us as soon as we go in there. Let's find somewhere else. Out here's pretty good. We could stay outside the promised land. You can imagine as they began to share that the people of the congregation became restless. we can't go up. Maybe they began to panic. And it seems like there is a bit of a panic that goes on here. But Numbers 13 and verse 30, it says this: "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" He said, "Let's go up right now. Get your stuff. Let's go fight them right this instant. Let's go." True Christian leaders know the Word of God, and they try to lead people in it. See, Caleb, it wasn't like, now the dude could fight, I'm sure. I know he could. But it wasn't like he was just thinking, "I could go in there, I can take these guys." No, what did he know? God said, "That's your land." If God said it, I believe it. And if God said it, that means he meant it. God doesn't change here. He told us to go up for possession. Surely he would be with us if he said he would give it to us. "Why is this even a debate?" he asked him. "Let's go up right now." Caleb was one who relied on God. He wasn't relying on Israel's army. He wasn't relying on his own strength. He was relying on the Lord. Here was a moment where he was faced with an extreme trial in his life. And where does he turn? You know, I bet those 12 spies who went into the land, if you were to ask them, "Do you rely on the Lord?" I bet every single one of them would have said, yeah, I rely on God. Yeah, of course I trust God. But as soon as they're faced with a situation where they must depend on God, that's when we truly know, do we depend on Him or do we turn to ourselves? Do we run? What do we do? Caleb relied on the Lord. Number two, Caleb remained faithful. He remained faithful. You know, it's easy, relatively easy anyways, to be faithful for a period of time. Maybe even while things are going smoothly. But God is looking for people who will remain faithful through the difficult times and through these valleys. I love what Numbers 14:24 says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." He remained faithful. You see, there was a punishment that was given to the children of Israel because they doubted. 10 of the spies said, "No, we can't go." 2, Joshua and Caleb, the faithful ones, said, "Let's go up at once." And yet God punished Israel for their lack of faith. And 40 years they had to wander in the wilderness. 40 years. What would have taken less than a month to travel from Egypt to Canaan took 40 years just because they lacked faith. And yet Caleb was exempt from dying in the wilderness, and God promised him that he would be able to go into the promised land. And yet those 40 years, he remained faithful, continuing to trust the Lord. He had, the Bible says, another spirit, different from the people of Israel. See, often the people of Israel generally had a spirit of complaint. What do you always see the Israelites doing? There's a word that the Bible says a bunch: murmur. Murmuring. It sounds, what do they call that when the word kind of sounds like you say it? Does anybody know? Help me out.
Nobody?
Right. Like mom. Anyways. Murmur. Everywhere they went, they complained they didn't have food. God gave them food. They complained they were tired of that food. God gave them different food. They wanted water. God gave them water. They wanted water again. God gave them water. They were upset that they had left Egypt. They wanted to go back, murmuring all along. I believe it even says in the passage where Caleb stilled the people that they went on to murmur and complain, saying, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us in the wilderness, Moses?" Yet Caleb had another spirit. You know, there's such a thing as what we call a can-do attitude. But Caleb had a God-can-do attitude. Caleb had a different spirit. Back to Numbers 14:24, it says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him," notice what it says, "and hath followed me fully." Fully. Later in Numbers 32 and verse 12, it says of Caleb and Joshua, "Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord." The reason we read about Caleb is because he wholly followed the Lord. See, partial obedience is disobedience, right? And yet Caleb here is not on the fence. He's not like the other spies who followed when the going was good. But rather, he is completely obedient. He is not half-hearted in his service, in his faithfulness, in his dedication, in his commitment. He wholly followed the Lord. We need holy people to wholly follow the Lord. Amen. All in. Christ demands complete obedience. He remained faithful over those some 40 years while they wandered. Man, that'd be hard. Would you start to think, God, are you going to give me this? I'm getting up there, God, in age. And yet he remained faithful. Thirdly, he remembered the promises. He remembered the promises. God has many promises for his children. Unfortunately, we as believers tend to forget God's promises. Or we don't know them. Aren't you glad God never forgets his promises? Even if we do, even if we don't believe it. God gave Caleb several promises, and Caleb was diligent not to forget a single one of them. He made the promise of the land. In Joshua 14:12, here's the promise. "Now therefore," what does he say? "Give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day." You know how long ago that day was? Over 40 years. And he said, in that, you remember? I remember here. It's kind of like anytime you tell your kids something. And if you say it, you better be doing it, because they will let you know that you didn't do it if you don't do it. And they'll say, "Sure enough, Dad, you said." Those are words that obviously you enjoy to hear, but they also kind of like, "You're right, I did." You know, kind of makes you careful what you say even. "Dad, you said." It doesn't matter how late it is. It doesn't matter what time of the day. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. "Dad, you said." And if you said it, man, they're taking it to the bank and they will not let you forget it. I'm sure that we were that way as well as children. "You said." And here Caleb, a child of God, says in essence, "God, you said. You said it." Caleb didn't let God forget, although we know God never does. And yet over 40 years later, what does he say? "You remember when you said..." As we mentioned this morning, only two of the initial 12 spies could enter into the land. Those Caleb and Joshua. I love that passion and boldness. He says, "Give me this mountain." You think, isn't that kind of presumptuous that he would speak that way? No. God promised it. If God promised it, he's given it to us. God, save me. Right? He says, "Give me this mountain." Be humble a little bit, Caleb. No, he said he would give it to me. Give it to me. He remembered the promise of the land. Secondly, he remembered the promise of victory. Back in that verse 12 again, "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." Did you hear it again there? Said God, and you also said. Now it's interesting to me that when the 12 spies came back, the 10 spies initially, one of the first things they said, out of all the people group they mentioned, the first ones they mentioned, the children of Anak are there. Guess who's dwelling on Caleb's mountain? Those same exact children. They're still there. They didn't go anywhere. And yet Caleb has the same attitude, the same spirit that he did 40 years ago. And he said, "They're still there. Give me this mountain and I'll go and I'll fight them right now. God will give me the victory because he said so." The enemy was mighty. The cities were large. But Caleb knew that he could have victory because God said so. God has promised us victory as Christians. Sometimes we tend to forget, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We somehow start to believe that we're on the losing team. That's never fun to see. A Christian who lives their life as if they're on the losing team. You just won the Super Bowl with Jesus, and you're acting like you lost. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The victory. There's a man whose name is Eugene Bartlett. He's a hymn author. He was, I should say. He was known as one of the fathers of Southern gospel. Almost all of his songs have sunk into oblivion among the Christian body today. And yet one remains one of the most popular and widely known songs of the church. In 1939, this gentleman, Eugene Bartlett, had a stroke and he was rendered partially paralyzed and unable to continue to perform or travel. He spent the last 2 years of his life bedridden. Amid such bleak circumstances, he wrote his final and most beloved song. It was an optimistic number that has been sung by millions in worship services and recorded by the gospel's biggest names. The three verses and refrain enthusiastically tell of one's own personal salvation experience from beginning to end. It's said that Bartlett missed traveling and teaching, but he could still study the Bible, a study from which he would give us this wonderful song during a time when much of the earth sat on the brink of World War II. The song first appeared in that year in Gospel Choruses, a paperback songbook published by James Vaughan. Here are the words that he wrote while bedridden, while most people would have checked out of life even at that point. "O victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood." We sing some of those hymns, and I love to hear the stories of how those were written. So many of them, based on the words you would read, the stories don't seem to match sometimes. And here this man, in complete dark circumstance, in the final moments or years and time of his life, pins these words, "Victory in Jesus." Doesn't look like he's living a victorious life, and yet we know better. Caleb was promised the victory. Joshua was as well, but that was last week. Thirdly, we have the promise of age. Back to Joshua 14, and let's look at a few more verses, and we'll close. Verse number 10. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am in this day 85 years, or 85. And yet verse 11 says, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in that day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war. I love that part. Both to go out and to come in. His strength did not fail in the least bit. It reminds me of those children of Israel as they wandered throughout the wilderness for 40 years. It says that their shoes didn't wear out. And Caleb, he was as strong as he was at 85 as he was when he was 40. In the thought that kind of carries there, he says, I'm yet as strong this day as I was in the day of Moses. As my strength was then, even so my strength is now. Do you know why? Because God did not change. It never was in Caleb's strength. It was in the Lord's strength. It didn't matter how old Caleb was. The Lord's strength had not dwindled a bit. And so Caleb could boldly say, I am as strong now as I was then, because the Lord, as he was with me then, is still with me now. Caleb said, God's not done with me yet. He's 85 years old when he claimed the promise of God. Most would have settled for anything at that point. Listen, age is not a factor when you serve the Lord. There are certain promises of God that are guaranteed to us as believers, no matter what we do. But there are certain promises that are slightly different. Ones that we must trust the Lord for in order to receive. It's somewhat like if somebody were to write you a check for $100,000 and you took that check and you were so excited. You know, who wouldn't want that, right? And yet you take that check and you go home and you celebrate and you dance around and you sing about it and you even write a song about the check and you frame it and you say, oh, you know, praise God for this. You hang it up on your wall and every morning you walk out and you see that check and you just think, that's amazing. That's not going to do anything for you, is it? You got to what? Take it to the bank. You got to cash it, right? Caleb could have sat back and he could have settled. He could have said, oh, the bottom of the mountain looks fine too. There's even a river down here. I mean, this looks good. I could put my cows over here, my goats here. This is no problem at all. He could have easily sat back. The check would have stayed uncashed in his life. And yet he says, I'm not leaving that check on the shelf. I'm cashing that thing right now. And look, he didn't wait another day. Some of you might get your check and, man, you cash that on payday. All right, I want it now. I don't want to wait. Caleb, the moment he was able to, he said, you said it, God, and I'm ready. I bet he was waiting and waiting and waiting and just waiting. He remained faithful to the Lord and claimed the promises of God. He took it to the bank. Listen, the people Caleb would face were stronger. The cities were walled and there were giants there. These children of Anak were not some pushover to think that Caleb was just going to walk in there and, well, okay. No, it was a fight. He said, I'm ready for war. He knew what was coming. Age did not hinder him. Disappointment did not bitter him. And giants did not frighten him. Because the Lord was with Caleb. And as he was with Caleb, he is with us. And as he has given Caleb promises, he has given us promises in his glorious word. Sometimes he's waiting for us to just take it to the bank. Amen. What mountain in your life needs conquer? Would you stand with me tonight?